It's August the 13th, 2012, and I am meeting with Mrs. Smiley in her lovely apartment in the Heritage at 63 Carey Street. And I'm going to ask her to introduce herself and tell us her connection to the Grain Treat. So over to you.
I'm Carmel Smiley, and I work for Lake Shippers in the Grain Exchange on, it was the fifth floor in Chapel's building in Fort William. And we had to do bills of lading for all the ships that came to the lakehead. And we would type up the order and how much tons of grain they took, and or barley or whatever, and what elevators they were taking it from. And we would have to make up the bills of lading and run them on the gestetner. And then we had to put them together and get them all ready before the ship left the harbor.
So several things come to my mind. Because you had a fairly specialized job, I think we... I'll go through some of our standard questions, but there's some special ones that I want to ask you because of the work you did. And let's start with, when did you start
Shippers? I think it was in 45. I had worked for the Candacar, and then I went to other jobs and then got that one.
So you were working then... if I might ask, how old were you when you started working for them?
Trying to think how old I'd be. Maybe 21 or 20.
And you were not married at the time, so
no.
Your name at the time was?
Carmel Simone.
Oh, okay. And what was Chapel's building like?
It was a beautiful
then?
Building. And we were on the fifth floor, and we could go to Rudel's for coffee. Have you ever heard of Rudel's?
I have not heard of Rudel's.
Oh, Rudel's was the nicest coffee shop anybody ever would want to go to. And we would get rolls and hamburgers or whatever. It was really nice. They had one in Fort William and one in Port Arthur.
And where was it in relation
it was right
to the
across
Chapel's building?
Right across the street from the Chapel's building.
So where the
there was
an annex that
there's a pub there or something.
Oh, okay.
Right in
Newfie's
there.
Newfie's pub.
Yeah, and we used to go right, and the door would be facing Chapel's. Like we come out our door and go in there, mm-hmm. And it was really the nicest coffee shop they ever had.
And what was did you notice what else was going on in that building? At the time when you started, in
Chapel's. Oh, well, there were other grain exchange offices there, but I never knew of any.
Why was it called the Grain Exchange, do you know?
I don't know. Because we had the office for Lake Shippers, and there was a few other offices. And there was a fella that worked in our office that had one of those radios, and he would radio back and forth to the ships.
The shortwave radios,
yeah.
Or the ship to shore?
Well, we had a radio in our office that he would contact the ships when they were coming in, mm-hmm. I guess.
So you were a young woman, 21,
yeah.
At the time that you started. What caused you to work there?
Well, apparently, what they used to do was lay the girls off in the fall, and see, all you had to do in the winter, was do the boxcars that left from Thunder Bay or Fort William, and there wouldn't be that many, so they didn't need all us girls. There was about six of us, I think. Mm. And so then they would lay three or four or five off, just keep one. So I guess they found they couldn't hire experienced staff, so they had to keep us all winter long. So we would, after we did the boxcars in the winter, we would knit or crochet, or and we learned how to play canasta, and we had a lot of fun.
So when you, how did you get a line on the job? You said you were working at Canada
Car. I guess through the, unemployment insurance. That was it, unemployment insurance. Because Miss Jones worked for the unemployment insurance, and she sent me there, and I got the job.
So, you come off the elevator, and I don't know when the last time you were back.
I haven't been back there. I should have.
To the building. But you came off the elevator and then you turned to the right.
Yeah.
And you had a fairly large space at the
yes,
time
we
you
did.
Started.
We had a big office. All the bosses were in the front part and all us girls were at the back. We all had a desk with a typewriter and we had to type these bills lading, and we would all be busy all summer long. And the people that owned the boats, like Patterson and other, I don't remember too many other.
Canadian Steamship Lines.
Yeah.
And
well, they would take us over at Christmas time and give us all kinds of gifts. And one time they even took us on one of the boats so we could see them load the grain. And that was really interesting. It was in the fall one year. It's really, we enjoyed that.
Who were some of the people working there then?
Well, I can't remember too many of them.
Did you have a boss?
Oh, yes. We had Mr. Mulligan, I think. And Jack Hindle was one of the bosses, too. And Cease Marshall, and he died about 3 or 4 years ago. He was quite a nice guy.
He had been there for a long time.
Yeah. And Bill Sinclair, I think. Bill... Yeah, they're all passed away now. Yeah, and the girls I worked with, a lot of them were leaving town and would quit and go away. And so I don't remember too many of the other ones.
Now, I did take a look at some of the older employee records. So I mentioned to you that my grandfather worked at Lake Shippers mm-hmm. as a messenger and a caretaker.
Oh.
And a lot of the women seemed to leave when they got married. Was that
yeah.
required?
Well,
or?
It was sort of required at that time because they wanted younger people to get the jobs or more young people. Like, there was a lot of people that were looking for jobs. Yeah.
So what do you think the philosophy was behind?
Well, they did that all over. Wasn't just at Lake Shippers. They did that at quite a few places, and then they quit it, you know. I guess they figured once you got married, you had a husband to look after you. You didn't need to be working. But then at that time, too, they kept us on all winter, which was pretty nice, and we learned how to knit and sew and... We didn't sew there, but we learned how to knit, and we went to the Y to learn how to play canasta. And we had a nice bunch. But a lot of them were married and left, you know, and then I got married and left town, so.
How long were you, did you work for them?
Till 51.
So a good long time. You were one of the longer,
well,
lasting employees then, because they oftentimes... From records I saw, didn't last for more than a year or three.
Yeah, well, people would move and get other jobs, you know, at that time. But it was a nice place to work.
You started to describe what the office looked like. So you said you came in the door and...
And you go through all the manager, where the managers had their desks. I think the manager had his own office, but then... The other people would have a desk, you know, and then we had, there was some desks in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And what kind of records were kept? Were they like, were there storage cabinets for records, or were they
I don't remember
big
too
books,
I don't
or?
remember too much about the files. Like, all I remember is we would type up, they would come and give us the what we had to type up, and we had to type it up and make sure it was perfect, you know. And then we would run it off to Gestetner and put it together, and we had to make so many copies, and they had to be all ready before the ship left.
Now, some people listening to this, believe it or not, would not know what a gestetner is. Can you describe a
That was
gestetner?
a Gestetner is a, what would they call them now? It's a machine where you make copies. See, and you'd have to stand there, and you had to put it on. Like, when you type this copy up, you had to put it on the Gestetner and make sure it was nice and smooth.
The Gestetner, if I recall, because I do recall Gestetners, it was sort of like a drum.
Yeah, and you had to make sure everything was nice and even, and then you would run it off.
There must have been some kind of ink involved.
Oh, yeah, she had to put ink, and then you had to read it, make sure everything was right and legible, and then you ran off as many copies as you had to, and sometime it would be 4 or 5 pages, you
So it would
know.
be a crank that you would be
Yeah,
turning.
you'd crank it. It was a copy machine. That's what it is. Yeah.
And where would those copies go?
Well, they would we'd have to put them all together, you know, and several copies, and then somebody would take them to the ship, and they would have to take them wherever they went. 'Cause it would tell them how much wheat they got from whatever elevator they were going to, and how much grain and or oats or whatever. And I guess they would have to pay for it.
Speaking of paying for it, when I was in, I mentioned I went to see Mr. Ward, who's the final general manager, leaving at the end of the month as they closed down Lake Shippers. There was a big safe in the hallway. Do you remember that safe?
No. But I imagine they would have to keep those. Because when we finished them, we would take them up to the manager, you know, and then they would do whatever they had to do with them and check them out, make sure they were right, everything, every word had to be perfect.
I expect the numbers had to be pretty.
Yes, they had to be right because you had to have as how many tons or whatever.
During your 6 years or so there, there were probably quite a number of people came on in the clerk and typist positions. What do you think made a good worker there? What did it take to be
Well, you had to be a good typist. And when we worked, we really worked. Like, in the summertime, when the ship started, we worked.
What were the hours, do you recall?
I think we worked from 9 till 5 or something.
So you had to be a good typist.
You had to be a good typist.
That was it.
Well, you had to know what you were typing, you know. Yeah. And of course, everything you had to type by hand. Got carpal tunnel from it. But anyway, it was interesting. I enjoyed it.
Did you get an opportunity to learn much about ships and elevators and?
Well, they did take us to the ships, you know, and we saw what was going on. But that's about all. Because in the summertime we were really busy. But the winter was kind of nice.
If someone was there a place to advance to when you came in
Well,
as a
no, it was. We were all doing the same thing, and one and sometime we would do shorthand. If there was one girl that did the shorthand, and if she wasn't there, he would just come and give it to anybody that looked like they weren't doing anything. But that's about it. And, like, I don't think you ever went anywhere. You just weren't there.
It was a typing pool.
Yeah.
Was there a manager of the typing pool?
Yeah, we had a manager. We had, like, Cease Marshall, and we had Jack Hindle. I think Jack Hindle was kind of a biggie. And then we had our boss. You know, there was about four or five guys that worked. Bill Sinclair worked there, too. And he was kind of younger than the rest. Mm. And they're all passed away.
If somebody... somebody new was coming on, was it pretty easy to get with the flow of the work right away?
Well, if you could type, I think you were okay.
Were people ever let go?
Never. Nope. Everybody that worked there seemed to... A lot of the girls would quit to go to Toronto or somewhere, their boyfriend, you know, and leave. Sometimes they would leave for a different job. But mostly...
Could anybody not do the job?
We all did a good job.
Yeah, so yeah. Making mistakes or whatever people...
Well, we had to check everything before. Everything was, you know, you'd read it and then you'd check what they gave you and made sure everything was perfect.
So that's pretty precise, especially if you were having to work long days at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to be perfect. And it helped me get a job at the... I ended up working at the high school in Edmonton. And... because I knew how to use a Gestetner so I could run exams, I got hired. And it was funny, I shouldn't say this, but it was for, wasn't a Catholic school. And the principal hired me, and when I went to the school board to get the job, they didn't hire me because I was Catholic.
Mm.
So I come home and told my husband, I said, they're not going to hire me because I'm Catholic. And the principal at the other school had told me to come to work on Monday. So Monday came, I didn't go to work. So he phoned me and he says, what happened? Why aren't you at work? And I says, well, they told me they weren't going to hire me. And he says, you get in here and get to work.
Hmm.
And they hired me.
So you left then to get married?
Yeah, I got married, and my husband was an engineer, and we lived from Newfoundland to Yellowknife.
Wow. And what kind of engineering?
He built roads and bridges.
Okay.
And so I would work wherever.
Mm-hmm. So you had skills that were transferable?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a sad day, the day you left Lake Shippers?
Not really. I was getting married, and you know, you have
pretty
other
exciting.
Things. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I saw much of the girls after because I was away, you know. And then they would leave too. But I don't know.
Did when they hired you, and as you worked there, what was your sense of the Canadian grain industry? Did you have any thoughts about that?
I really didn't know, other than living in Fort William, and there was all these grain elevators, you know. You sort of knew they were being filled with grain from the boxcars that came over here. And
did you live close by an elevator?
I lived on Southern Avenue.
On which avenue?
Southern Avenue.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. And we used to walk to school.
So that was a fair walk for you?
Yes, it was.
Down to...
I think I used to walk to work, too. I used to walk to work, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those were the days when just your lifestyle kept you fit.
Yeah.
So you were down at the at the display.
Yes, I was. I really enjoyed it.
What did you like about it?
Oh, I just liked seeing the wheat and the barley and the oats, because, like, I guess I had seen it, but it was so nice to see it, you know, in the jars, and I thought it was well displayed. And the girl I talked to was very nice.
So when you were working at Lake Shippers, did you get to see grain products, or was it just paper?
Not really. We just went to one boat that I was there, and they showed us how they were putting the, you know, the wheat from the elevator into the boats, you know, and they had these long chutes. That's about all.
Pretty impressive, I would think.
Yeah, it was at that time. Yeah. Yeah.
So you got then a sense of what you were doing was important.
Yeah.
If you didn't do it right, somebody would not get treated fairly.
Oh, no. It had to be perfect. Yeah.
Any connection with the Winnipeg office?
No, I don't remember with them at all. No. I don't know. Maybe the bosses did, or, you know, but I don't know.
I think some at one time came from Winnipeg, but I don't know how many of them did it while you were there.
Oh.
They started their careers in Winnipeg and
came here. No, it was all settled when I went to work, and, like, it wasn't a real big office, but it's a nice office to work in.
What made it a nice office to work in, do you think?
Well, we all had enough room, you know, and we could sit and chat if we had nothing to do, you know. But if we were busy, you had to produce. It had to be perfect, because you just couldn't send stuff like that. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could cost somebody a fair amount of money, because you were dealing with big numbers, right?
Yes, yeah. Those ships were pretty big. Yeah. And they would get stuff from different elevators, so it had to be down, you know, what they got at whatever elevator.
You had to be able to add.
Yeah.
Did you use special machines for adding? Or was that
no,
somebody else's job?
When they brought everything to you, it was all set up. And you just had to copy it and type it. Yeah, type it right. And you have to put so much in a page, you know. And
I've seen some copies of those pages.
Did you? Oh. So the office is still open?
Well, it's on the opposite side of the hallway.
Oh, I think I'll go up there.
Office.
Can you go up the elevator?
Yeah. Now, I don't know who's currently in the old offices that you would have been in.
Mm-hmm.
But the Canadian Ports Clearance Association is on the right-hand side, the last office on that part of the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll only be there.
Yeah. I should get a hold of Philip Payne, because I usually see him in the mornings, you know. I go to Mass over at the cathedral at 9 o'clock in the morning, so I could... He goes for coffee in the Victoria.
It would be open until the end of this month.
Yeah.
Stop in and see Mr.
Maybe
Ward
I'll,
and introduce yourself.
Yeah. I'll grab a hold of Phil and say, come on, come for a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see if you can persuade him to be interviewed too.
I try to talk him into it, but...
No, he seems he's got a mind of his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any questions I haven't asked you that I should have asked?
I don't know, like what?
If nothing springs
to
mind.
I enjoyed my work there.
You weren't there for very long, so
no.
Did you experience any changes? Were things changed in the time that you were there?
No.
Or it was
no.
The routine stayed pretty much the same?
Yeah, we all had, you know, you pretty well had the same job to do, and you had to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And fast.
And fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And learn how to run the
distance. So I would think that if you weren't fast and weren't accurate, you left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was fun working the Gestetner. And then you had to put them all together, you know. Get them on and take them over to the boss.
I would imagine his desk got pretty crowded.
Yeah, well, they would be getting rid of this stuff as soon, you know.
So the messengers, I mentioned that my grandfather was hired on as a messenger and a caretaker. So as a messenger, he might actually have delivered some of those
probably,
things.
Probably, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice, people at work, they were very nice. Yeah, we never ran into any.
Any of the office politics that you often
No, everybody was nice and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice place to work.
What happened to the coffee shop?
I don't know, because I left. They had one in Port Arthur, and one in Fort William, and it was called Rudels. And
was that the name of the family?
I don't know. But they had the nicest coffee shop, and it was always packed. And just the other day, I was talking about Rudels, and somebody saying, oh, yeah, I remember Rudels. But they were right across the street.
Mm-hmm. Was that where Mahan's eventually went in? Because I worked at Kresge's. So
no,
I'm just
it was,
trying to
it
think.
Was the week. It was right now. There's a Newfie pub there.
Yeah.
Was that might have been Kresge's?
No, Kresge's was down the next block.
Okay. I don't know what
because
was there.
Because that's where I worked.
Yeah.
And then there was Woolworths. On the other side of me was another coffee shop, and that was the Lorna Doone.
Oh yeah, that was a restaurant.
A restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, it was right. It was facing Victoria Avenue,
mm-hmm.
But this one here faced.
Okay.
Is it Brody Street that's there, or
Syndicate?
Syndicate. Okay.
Syndicate, right.
It was facing Syndicate Avenue.
Hmm.
Yeah, because we would cross the street, and they would be like right at the tail end of that pub.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it must have been an exciting time in downtown Fort William. It was right after the war.
It was, and it was a lovely, I don't know why they built that mall. You know, it just
destroyed the street life.
Yeah. Yeah.
People wanted to be in and out of the harsh elements.
Yeah.
Obviously, they weren't walking back and forth to work every day.
I know I was working in Ottawa, and they built a mall like that. That cut off the street, and they tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
So were you working at Lake Shippers when they had the explosion?
No.
No? So it was after that? You must have started in the fall?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And I don't remember that, because I got married, and then, you know, I just traveled with my husband, and
mm-hmm.
we were all over. We ended up in Ottawa. And he ended up being a director of engineering and architecture for Parks Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That must have been an exciting career.
Yeah, so he got that picture of the Parliament
the buildings.
And he got the first one. And was it Rooney? No. Our Prime Minister.
Mulrooney?
Mulrooney got the second one.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
You would have been a good person to help us. We're our group, Friends of Grain Elevators, is trying to set up a Parks Canada-sponsored National Historic Site here to recognize the grain industry.
Oh.
What do you think about that idea?
That's a good idea. He opened up Puckasaw.
Oh.
Yeah, and then one in Newfoundland. I forget the name of it.
Grossmorne,
yeah, because we did live there for a while, but it wasn't with Parks
mm-hmm.
Canada, and he was he went to Yellowknife and Fort Smith, and then from there he was transferred to Ottawa, to Edmonton, and from Edmonton to Ottawa,
and then you came back to Thunder Bay.
Yeah, well, my husband passed away, and I stayed in Ottawa for a while, and then I had a camp here at Green Bay, so I came back and forth. And then I decided to come back, and I bought a house on Moody Street. I sold it to come here, and then I finally sold the camp, because I go to Florida for 5 months.
Mm, that's nice. Yes, we used to rent a camp at Pebbly Beach.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So
nice
would
beach.
You know the Mackenzies? They, I think they were at Green Bay.
I don't know. Don't
Mackenzie
remember them.
Prescott's were
there. I remember the Bonnets that lived next door to us.
Oh, okay, that name sounds familiar.
Mrs. Bonnet, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, she was a lovely person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if there's nothing more that you'd like to add,
no.
I think I can probably close off the interview.
Yeah, it was a lovely place to work.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can get that Mr. Payne to add his comments. So thanks again.
Thank you.